This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, it's time for On the Clock with the Score Zone Mark Grody covering the latest on another potential historic draft. Featuring experts and analysis on this red-hot offseason storyline that's the headline of the league. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app. Here's Mark Grody.
And the bonus tonight. Yes, this is On the Clock, where we zero in on the Chicago Bears and the 2024 draft because of the Bears' very important position in it, 1-9 in the first 10 picks. But I get to be here until 9 o'clock with you. So whatever we don't get to in the first hour of talking about the Bears in the draft, I promise we will get to between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and we've got a jam-packed quality show planned for you tonight, including a gentleman who was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day. I don't know about you, but I can't get enough of just hearing about Caleb Williams and starting to understand him a little bit better from a personality perspective, and even what little we may have learned about him actually throwing the football the other day. So we're going to get into that with EJ Snyder. He is a senior draft analyst, also of the Bootleg Football podcast. And he was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day. So we'll talk to him here in about 5 or 6 minutes or so from right now. Also on the show tonight, we will talk to Trey Wingo. You know Trey Wingo, doing all sorts of stuff these days. He's got a couple of podcasts out, and on one of the podcasts that he works on, which I believe he does with Chase Daniels. Yeah, it's the Chasing It podcast with Chase Daniels. He, and you'll hear it a little bit later on, he let out his disgust for the Bears' trade of Justin Fields. And you will hear later on what part of that trade Trey Wingo did not like. So he's coming up at about 6:25 tonight. And actually, we're going to do two parts of EJ Snyder. So you'll hear a little bit from him at 7 o'clock as well. As we had a great conversation with him and long enough to play a couple of parts with you. Later on in the night, yes, we will serve baseball as well. Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune, who covers the Cubs on a daily basis, will be on the show. She with the Chicago Tribune, to talk about the Cubs and to talk about Justin Steele, who had to leave a spring training game early today. So we'll find out what the injury is and if there is any update on it and if we should be concerned about opening day for the Cubs, which is bearing down. It's coming. The real stuff is about to start. I do love that everybody is angry that the first game of the Major League Baseball season started overseas. How could they do that? What are they, crazy? Why would they do that to the American baseball fans? But not one single person that I know anyway is ready for baseball to start at this point. Not a single one. So you're all hypocrites. Like, you were really looking forward to that first Yankees, Red Sox lid lifter to the season to begin with. I doubt it. I don't believe that.
Right in the middle of the NCAA tournament, right, and draft season. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yes.
This wasn't for us, as many people have pointed out.
It's a fun thing, a fun way to talk about baseball, I guess, like be outraged that it's taking place overseas. How dare they do that to our base? When there's 162 games, we bitch about how many games there are. Nobody's ready for baseball in this town because it's snowing today, by the way. And then people are actually have the gall to say that they're angry that the baseball season opened overseas, and how dare they do that? Get out of here. I don't want to hear it. Anyway, let's get back to the Bears. See, this is what happens when I've got the 6 to 9 show. I don't stay disciplined within the first hour, and I must do that because there was something that caught my ear today as I was listening to the score. Joe Ostrowski from BetQL. He's our number one gambling man. That's what they call Joe Ostrowski. He's the gambling man. He was on the Bernstein and Holmes show today. Layla Rahimi just happened to be filling in, and he was giving out playoff odds that have occurred recently since free agency, since the Bears have gotten Keenan Allen. And just I was literally writing down notes from Joe. Number one most likely to make the playoffs in the NFC, San Francisco, followed by Atlanta. They are the second biggest favorite right now in the NFC. Atlanta, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Green Bay round out that 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I said Atlanta already. And then there you have the Chicago Bears at minus 120, a slight favorite to make the playoffs. And I was one of those people who, after the season had ended, that I was very skeptical. Well, after the season ended, I was like, I still don't think the Bears are a playoff team next year. After their 7-10 year this year, I still said, that doesn't, like, it was a hard 7-10. Like, it was an uphill battle to get 7 wins out of that year in a season where some things went really badly in terms of blowing leads. You saw the games. We all saw the games that the Bears played this year. So when asked that question, I said, I still think they're a couple of years away from getting to and winning. I mean, that's the big thing for the Bears and their franchise, actually winning playoff games, which they've won 6 of since 1985. It's an insane, embarrassing number. And, you know, but that's the big deal. That's the most important thing, is actually getting to and winning these games. But I will say, and I still need time to let it settle in a little bit, I think we all do. I mean, the tendency is when you bring in Keenan Allen, all of a sudden everything else makes total and complete sense. It feels like, okay, that's real stuff, because it's not just Keenan Allen coming to the team. It's Keenan Allen being paired with another great wide receiver. You know, it's Keenan Allen coming in, and let's see what sort of, you know, duo dynamite these two have between them. So everything all of a sudden starts to fall into place. Even the DeAndre Swift move, as big as it actually felt in real time, it gets bigger all of a sudden. Then you're like, okay, I guess they have a center and then Coleman Shelton. They added that tight end in Gerald Everett. The Ryan Bates deal can, you know, you're gathering depth on your offensive line. That starts to fall into place and make sense. And it does give you that boost in your brain that maybe the Bears can be better next year, because that's a serious offense, assuming. And, you know, it does take a leap of faith to consider any rookie quarterback to be good. It assumes that whomever your rookie quarterback is, that he is good enough to get the Bears to the next level. But let's play a little bit before we get to EJ Snyder. Let's listen to a little bit of Caleb Williams here. And Caleb Williams had his pro day the other day. Keenan Allen was at the pro day at USC. So Caleb Williams talked about that.
Seeing Keenan Allen here, how much does that mean for you, just to have him here, just to watch, obviously, you and the other players?
Yeah, it was great. So I've known Keenan for probably a year now. I've hung out with him a few times. And so to have him here, and for me to possibly be going to the same team as him now and know him for a year, it's exciting. He came off one of his best years, so that's really exciting. To possibly be able to have him as a wide receiver and coming off his best year, that, you know, all the knowledge that you can gain from somebody like that is great.
Caleb Williams' tone throughout all of this has been great because people keep asking him Bears-esque questions. Would you like that? Or almost sometimes slipping and assuming that he's going to be there. He's pretty good still at generalizing the if I end up there. And yeah, boy, he was really good last year. And yeah, I've always liked him. And he's a neat guy and all of that. Talking about Keenan Allen right there was Caleb Williams. So he's had the right tone because really, I mean, I played the cut, but how in the hell does he answer these questions when he still doesn't know for sure where he is going? We all think we know. We understand. Wink, nod, all of that. But I think you understand what I'm saying. All right. Let's hear now from a guy who was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day the other day. He is EJ Snyder, senior draft analyst of the Bootleg Football Pod. And, yeah, what was it like to be out there at that pro day, man?
It's a little bit different. I've been to a bunch of pro days, and certainly this is the first one I've ever been to where a presumptive number one overall pick in the draft is participating. So different level of sort of energy and just participation. My podcast partner, Brett Coleman, was there last year at USC. It was kind of rainy. Obviously, they didn't have Caleb Williams. He said there was about 20 people there from outside of the USC community. Very different scene yesterday in Southern California. Lots of people, lots of cameras, lots of lights. And it was a big and fun day. And it felt like there is that sort of built up potential energy that this is important, and you know there's a strong potential that hopefully 10 or 15 years from now we'll all remember, yeah, I was there on that day.
How do you think Caleb comported himself? I suppose first, just as a thrower on the field, what were your observations after you saw Caleb Williams fling the football around for a while?
He's very good at it. We all knew that. He's got an extremely live arm. I call it a video game arm. I think Caleb's going to have one of the top five arms in the NFL as soon as he enters the league. He has an arm that's just different, and you can see that. You can hear it from field level. Again, I've been around a lot of quarterbacks now, and even just warming up, the stuff he was throwing at sort of 50 or 80% just to get loose, the ball just pops off his hand. And then when he really opened it up, you saw the same thing you saw on film. You saw tight spirals. You saw accuracy. You saw nice timing, hitting receivers right where they needed it for, you know, yards after the catch opportunities. I don't think any of that was really a surprise. We've seen plenty of that from Caleb on tape. In terms of how he sort of comported himself with, you know, what could be a pressure pack day, sure didn't seem like it. He is a very cool customer. This seemed very much like a handshake between Caleb and the Bears. A lot of the rest of the league was there, of course. In fact, every other team in the league was there. And they were all just sort of kicking rocks on the field because they could look at Caleb, but they know they can't touch him. And they seemed a little sad. They seemed a little disappointed.
I like the way you put that. And, you know, just kind of a handshake with the Bears. Somebody else put it to me like this is just a proof of life for Caleb Williams that nobody out there is going to be breaking down what he does. And I know that some quarterbacks in the past have impressed the hell out of people on pro days and maybe have gained spots, but this felt like it was just a formality. I guess I should ask you too, is Caleb your guy? Is he your top quarterback, EJ? Because I know you do a lot of work on the draft. I also know that you know, with Windy City Gridiron and being around here, where have you fallen when it comes to Caleb Williams and all the hype that's surrounding him? And is he your guy?
He is. He's my guy. He's my QB1 in this class. He is in a tier by himself. We often say that, you know, placement in a tier is most important, whether you're a tier one, tier two, whether or not the order in that tier gets shaken up a little bit, not as important. Caleb's in his own tier this year. He stands alone as QB1. There is a second tier right behind him with a couple of guys for me, but in terms of overall quarterback talent, again, Bears need it. They have the number one overall pick. I don't believe they can pass on Caleb Williams, and I don't believe they will.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably a few, you know, like we're talking about the handshake at the game yesterday and just a formality of sorts. I mean, I imagine that there's just a tiny bit, or there was a tiny bit of gray area, but it sounds like Ryan Poles and Caleb Williams went out to dinner and whatever questions. I don't even know if Ryan Poles had the same questions that a lot of people had about Caleb Williams, but yeah, I mean, he does seem like an absolutely undeniable force. What did you think about a couple things? Keenan Allen being present at the pro day, and what did you think about the acquisition of Keenan Allen?
Yeah, I'll take the second one first. I was extremely excited. I've been a huge Keenan Allen fan for almost his entire time in the NFL. Mm. Believe he's one of the best route runners in the league still. He struggled with injuries in the past, but he is coming off his best season in his career. That's why he didn't want to take a pay cut from the Chargers. I was extremely excited. It gives Chicago, obviously, the best receiving core they've had in a very long time with DJ Moore on one side, Keenan Allen on the other. I think it's a very important acquisition to sort of set the stage for a young quarterback. So that was tremendous. The fact that he showed up at the pro day was a little bit of a bonus. There was a little bit of a whisper like, oh, Keenan's here. And at first I was like, what's he doing here? And I was like, of course, he has a house here. He's lived here for the past umpteen years. It was still cool. It definitely seemed a little bit arranged. It was a photo op for Keenan to come and shake hands with the guy he's going to be catching passes from very soon, most likely. But it was still cool. It felt genuine. And Caleb came out and said, hey, that's not the first time I've met Keenan, but obviously in this circumstance it is. And it was really cool to sort of have that moment. Keenan was there for a little while, took off. But I thought it was a great addition, whether it was his idea or the Bears' idea or Caleb's team's idea. I don't know whose idea it was, but the optics look really good. And I think those two guys are going to have a lot of fun together on the field.
I like the idea that he just was in, just walked over from the neighborhood. He had his Bears gear on. He was just out cutting the lawn, and he heard some noise over it. Oh, that's right. It's Caleb's pro day. Maybe I walk on over there in my flip flops.
Yeah, maybe. No, it was a little more polished than that, but I think those two guys are going to have a very productive professional relationship starting really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Caleb's strengths are going to accentuate some of Keenan's, and Keenan is going to be able to get open, separate as the way he always has in the league, and that's going to be tremendous for Caleb as a young quarterback.
It's pretty I actually don't know how you feel about it, EJ, but as the offseason went on and free agency was open and the Bears are making moves, I understand you have to fill a roster, but I wasn't blown away by any of them necessarily. I mean, DeAndre Swift, I thought was a huge one, but the Ryan Bates, the tight end Gerald Everett, the center, which they need, Coleman Shelton, these are all once they signed Keenan Allen and once they traded for him, everything all of a sudden fell into line and had perspective. And it's amazing how much having Keenan Allen and the potential of Caleb Williams being on the roster, and you start to look at it, even what they have on defense, and it's like, oh man, before Keenan Allen, I don't know if I thought the Bears were a playoff team. Now, assuming that Caleb Williams is not a complete flop or fail, it feels like, EJ, the Bears should be a playoff team this year, or could be. What has been your thought process on whether or not the Bears should be expected to be, or in your brain, are going to be a playoff team next year? And I know it's going to take some projecting because we haven't had the draft, and we don't know if Caleb Williams is here or what he's going to be, but what is your expectation right now for the Bears?
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Mark, that after free agency, the first part of free agency, there was sort of like, okay, who else than Keenan really? The addition of that changes that perspective and says, okay, these might be midline moves outside of Keenan's acquisition, but they set the stage, they give some stability, and boy, if you project a young, talented quarterback into that offense, now optimism starts to creep in, and you go, why can't he? We've seen young quarterbacks come in, CJ Stroud. I hate to put that on Caleb because that is, the best historic rookie season we have on tape. But, Justin Herbert did it years before that. Again, those are the two best rookie seasons we've had from drafted quarterbacks in a long time. But when you start to look at the stage and the holes that have been filled, the weapons that he now has, you go, there's a better than average chance that he can be better than average.
Mm-hmm. Better than average chance that he can be better than average. That was EJ Snyder, at least the first part of my conversation with EJ, the senior draft analyst for the Bootleg Football Pod. He was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day. He is a Chicago guy, so he's got a little bit of extra insight on the Bears as well. So we'll hear more from him coming up in just a little bit. But next here on the Clock, I'm looking very forward to this because Trey Wingo, and I know that some people were pretty loud and angry about the lack of return that the Bears received in the trade of Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. However, it felt like most people, and I think I'm included, like I think I was so caught up in the this needs to get done, why isn't it getting done, that I was accepting of what the Bears got back, a conditional sixth round pick. But guess what? Trey Wingo didn't want to hear any of it. So we will hear from Trey Wingo coming up next on the clock on the score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Inevitably, when Ryan Poles is going to be decided whether or not to stay in Chicago or get fired, because that's going to happen to everybody, they will not look at his resume and say, did he do right by players he traded away? Was that the most important thing? Or was it the most important thing that we have more wins than effing losses?
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Say more, Trey Wingo. Displeased with the haul that the Bears received in the Justin Fields trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers. As I do welcome you back into On the Clock, I'm Mark Grody. Bonus night tonight. I'll be here until 9 o'clock, so we'll talk about everything a little bit later on. But yeah, that was Trey Wingo on the Chasing It podcast that he performs with Chase Daniels, of course, the ex-Chicago Bears quarterback and a weekly contributor to The Score. At least he was this past season on the Parkins and Spiegel show. So it is perfect that we are bringing on Trey Wingo right now of the Chasing It podcast, of the Alternative Routes podcast, about which we will speak a little bit later on. But Trey, You were not down with the work of Ryan Poles. You didn't think he was serving the community by being so nice to Justin Fields, apparently.
Well, first of all, Mark, good to be back with you.
Thank you.
Here's what I'll say about Ryan. I believe that this was the best value he could have gotten right now for Justin Fields. The market wasn't there. Once Kirk Cousins signed and Russell Wilson signed, I mean, you know, there wasn't a lot of value there. So my question is, then why do you trade something or someone when their value is at its lowest? We only know the words Tyson Bagent exists because Justin Fields got injured last year. Mm-hmm. We only know how bad Zach Wilson was again because Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year. We know that Deshaun Watson's contract is the most ridiculous thing in the world because Joe Flacco performed well when he got injured. We realize how important Joe Burrow is because he got hurt and he couldn't play. Easton Stick is not Justin Herbert for the Chargers. It is inevitable that every season there are going to be multiple quarterbacks go down. And that's when your value for Justin Fields would have been significantly higher than it is now. Someone needs to explain it to me. And I've heard a bunch of comments, and I can respond to those if you want. Someone needs to explain to me why this made the most sense for the Bears organization to let him go now. Help me out.
I think the only answer would be, and I don't have the answer at this point, Trey, is that they decided that it was going to be an untenable situation.
Okay, so why? Let's start right there.
Yeah,
why is that an untenable situation?
Right.
It's not untenable financially. You'd have two quarterbacks on your roster at about $28 million, both first-round picks and one the first overall pick. So it's not a financial issue. So then is it going to be problematic for the quarterbacks? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I think that's one of the possibilities. I think the generalization or the overriding fear is just the pressure that would come for whomever. Let's say it is Justin Fields and Caleb Williams in there. Whomever it is that's the starter, let's just say it's Caleb Williams. Because of the popularity of Justin Fields, if Caleb Williams has a two-interception game, the crowd's going to be going crazy for Justin Fields, and maybe even vice versa if it was Justin Fields that was to start the season. So I think that there is a circus a quarterback circus that they fear putting these quarterbacks through, partly responsible. You know, I'm complicit in this as a Bears reporter because of the media pressure and the fan pressure that exists that is real here in Chicago. And honestly, Trey, I was with you on this most of the way. I was saying it out loud that, come on, these are adults. It's a business. The two of these guys can figure it out. Justin Fields is a great guy. Let's test that theory because we all say that about Justin Fields. But it did start to feel like, knowing the pressure that exists in Chicago specifically with the quarterback, I don't know that it would have been a tenable situation.
Well, here's my response to that, and I'll start on many levels. Number one, so what you're saying is the Bears front office decided to listen to the fans, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
To some degree. I don't think it's that. I think you're oversimplifying it a little bit.
Okay, but let's start there. Let's start there. Bill Parcells had the greatest line ever. The moment you start listening to the fans, pretty soon you'll be sitting next to them,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice way of saying trust your instincts. Don't listen to all, to quote the great Taylor Swift, the dads, Brads, and Chads in the world. All right, you have the job for a reason. They gave you the job for a reason. Trust your instincts. So I don't buy that at all.
By the way, Jerry Reinsdorf often uses that line as well. I think he was the last person that I heard that from, the White Sox and Bulls owner. But go on, Trey.
Yeah. Well, we have that in common. Our bank accounts are slightly different. but then the question becomes, the pressure would be too much. If that's too much pressure, the kid's not going to make it anyway. Like, that's the part that I don't understand. If this is going to bother either Caleb Williams or Justin Fields this much, then you've got the wrong guy.
Yeah, but isn't that just – wouldn't it be common thinking that pressure on it – like we just assume that these guys are machines. It's a 22-year-old. So – I do.
Yeah, and you want to find out whether or not, real quick, if he can handle it.
Yeah,
right. Because if he can't handle it, you got the wrong dude.
I'm just
the wrong guy.
I know. Okay? I'm actually just trying to figure out in my head for whom.
No, this is
an easy thing to just walk into a big market like Chicago with the history that Chicago has. And I know, like, the best part about this is Caleb Williams doesn't know anything about any of that. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't want to hear about that. We'll hit him over the head with it, unfortunately. I'll try to do less of that. But, you know, that part certainly does exist. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I've thought about this a lot, so I hear a lot of what you're saying. Maybe I've just become a little bit jaded as a reporter and understanding what the circus would be like and how the stuff gets into the heads of the players that, you know, I talk to.
But again, like, if it gets into his head and that's a problem, then he was never going to work anyway.
Yeah.
Because look at the pressure. I mean, outside of a few years with the punky QB, we're talking, what, Sid Luckman, right?
Yep.
A few years with Bobby Douglas.
Right. Well, you know? we had a nice year with Eric Kramer in there in like 95. That was delightful. But you're right. There's been nothing sustained since.
So the pressure is there regardless.
Yeah.
The pressure is there regardless. Listen, this is about maximizing value. And, you know, people say he did right by Justin Fields. They certainly put him in a great position.
Yep,
because,
they did do that.
You know, it's Russell's on a one-year contract. But I don't think he really – that was his – I don't think that was his desire. He got the best he could at the moment. So my point is, if that's all you're going to get, like, I think we can all think that Justin Fields is a much better quarterback than Mac Jones, right?
I think so.
Yeah, Mac Jones was a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
You only got a six, and people say, "Oh, it's a conditional." No, it's not, because unless Russell Wilson has an injury, he's not playing 51% of the snaps.
Right,
you know, it's not happening.
Right, unless they implement him into the offense, which some people think they might do in some way, shape, or form. But I got you. I hear you.
Yeah. So he's not playing 51% of the snaps. So it's a six round pick. You're telling me that, you know, this, the whole thing is to buy low and sell high. They bought high when they used all that capital to get him at 11 and couldn't have sold him when his value was lower. Tell me how that makes sense. It doesn't make sense. And if he was going to be if Caleb was going to be problematic with the pressure, or Ryan Foles and Eberflus were going to be concerned about fans calling for the other quarterback if the other one has a bad day, then they're the problem. You can't think that way. You have to do what's best for the team. You have to find out the best to win the most games and get the best value out of every part of your organization. None of that makes sense in this trade. None of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it out loud here on the air before, too, and I said this going back to, and this is a little bit obscure, but one of the first signings that Ryan Poles tried to make was the Larry Ogunjobi three technique. He failed his physical, and Ryan Poles was probably just as hurt as Larry Ogunjobi from the human standpoint, that he was like really on the, which is great, and I'm conflicted when I say this, but at some point in time, it's like you got to be a little bit more heartless, I guess, when you look at these guys. And again, I hate saying that, but business is business for all of these guys, including the GM.
It's not about being heartless. It's about understanding what the job is. Okay? If these things are tough for you, you're not in the right job. Like, you know, when Troy Aikman was taken number one overall by the Dallas Cowboys, you know what the Cowboys did in the supplemental draft that year? They took Steve Walsh, number one overall in the supplemental draft.
Oh.
And he was Jimmy Johnson's quarterback, okay, in college. So they were so high on Troy Aikman that they took Steve Walsh in the supplemental draft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think Troy has three Super Bowl rings and a Hall of Fame jacket.
Yeah.
We can argue about whether he should be in the Hall of Fame, but he is, right?
Uh-huh.
So it clearly didn't bother him. Brett Favre was still playing very well when they took Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And that was so toxic that the first thing Aaron Rodgers ever said to Brett Favre was, "What's up, Grandpa?" And Rodgers was like, "Really? F you."
Right.
And it bothered Brett Favre so much that he finished out a Hall of Fame career. And it bothered Aaron Rodgers so much that he's going to have a Hall of Fame career.
Hey, how about
just making excuses.
Yeah, a little bit off your track there that you were going on. Those are all great examples. How about like Washington when they had Robert Griffin III and then they drafted Kirk Cousins the same year, right?
In the fourth round. By the way, I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because here's another reason why this trade makes no sense. RG3 was the second overall pick in the 2012 draft behind Andrew Luck, right?
Yes.
Second overall. He's been out of the league for 4 years now, or going to be out of his fourth year. The guy that was taken four rounds after him by the same team is still playing and has set the record for the most guaranteed money in the history of the NFL when it comes to contracts for quarterbacks. So in other words, everyone can think that Caleb Williams is going to be this next great iconic quarterback. If we had known what Kirk Cousins would be and what RG3 would be, they would have been drafted very differently.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why you don't make this trade.
Yeah.
You are hoping, you are believing that Caleb Williams will do all these things. And I want to be clear, for Bears fans' sake, for Caleb's sake, I hope he is. I hope he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears. But no one can say with any ounce of certainty that that's going to be the case. Let's just go back. Every quarterback taken in the 2022 draft is on a different team except for one, Brock Purdy, who was the last pick of the draft. And he's going to be the best quarterback out of that draft. The 2021 draft, five quarterbacks taken, including Justin Fields in the first round. Zach Wilson can't get traded for a ham sandwich. Trey Lance was inactive as the third quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, even though the Niners gave up three first-round picks to get him.
Oh, my God.
Justin Fields was just traded. Mac Jones was just traded. Trevor Lawrence is still there, and he looks like he could be what they wanted him to be as the number one overall pick, but he regressed this year. They were 8-3 and won one game down the stretch, didn't make the playoffs. He threw three more interceptions and three fewer games played, and he was the third most fumbled quarterback, third most fumbled player in the NFL, despite having big hands. So nobody, when it comes to quarterbacks, nobody knows anything. We don't know anything. We won't know until we put him through the paces.
Right.
That's another reason why you keep Justin Fields around, just in case, as the recent history has shown us, these guys are nothing. They are nothing. They couldn't be farther away from a guaranteed or a certain. That doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
So you feel like the Bears, or maybe I'll say one, knows enough about Justin Fields that you can trust him to start the season, and then you bring somebody else along like Caleb Williams or whomever your fill-in-the-blank rookie quarterback is.
Well, you know what Justin Fields would have loved as a rookie? To have DJ Moore Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift and Cole Kmet around him. Okay? Like Caleb Williams is walking to us into a situation which is significantly better.
It's a soft landing.
Justin Fields has had to deal with in his first 3 years with the Bears. And don't tell me that, I mean, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, who can do anything with anybody, okay? And as we just saw this past year with the receiving core that he had to deal with outside of Travis Kelce and the rookie Rashee Rice, who was great in the second half of the season, they had no one. That's the only quarterback I know that can win with nobody.
Yep, he's shown okay? it. Yep.
And Justin Fields had a lot of nobody for most of his career as the quarterback in the NFL for the Bears. You don't tell me he would have loved to come in as a rookie with those two wide receivers and that those running backs and that tight end?
Hell yeah.
I mean, look, I want Caleb Williams to succeed, but he is putting it in a much better position than Justin Fields ever was by this regime or the previous regime in Chicago. Nobody knows anything. It's all an educated guess, man. And if it's an educated guess, I'm holding on to a guy like Justin Fields, who I think can play and play much better with the weapons he'd have around him this season in Chicago.
I think you're probably right. I mean, I've been pretty consistent in what I've said, that I've seen enough of Justin Fields to feel that there is, you can upgrade at quarterback, and have definitely supported Caleb Williams. But I will say this, Trey, that when they did trade Justin Fields, my first emotion, honestly, was like just kind of sad. Like the whole thing is sad. Like that you came from the, as you said earlier in the interview, like moving up to get this guy, and then you get nothing for him on the way out the door. The guy was earnest. There was a spectacular season that we got out of him with his legs in 2002. So all of that said, I was sad, and then I said, "Well, here's kind of what you've been talking about. You got what you wanted. Caleb Williams better damn well be good. He better be all of that stuff." And to your point, Trey, we're asking a ton because he's not going to be treated friendly if he struggles in his first year, and all rookie quarterbacks struggle in their first year to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, look, and this is not about Caleb Williams. It's about the inadequacy of drafting a quarterback. Like 2015, the quarterback taken first overall was Jameis Winston. How's that working out? Right? 2016, it was Jared Goff, and Jared has rebounded nicely, but he was traded, went to another team. 2017, don't get me started, it was Mitchell Trubisky instead of Patrick Mahomes. Okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
2018, it's Baker Mayfield, who's on his fourth team, and it looks like he finally may have found his home on a fourth team. But if you're taking a quarterback number one overall, you sure as hell don't want him to be on his fourth team when he gets to be what he should be. 2019, it was Kyler Murray. How's that working out?
Well, you know, hanging in there, you know.
Hanging in there, but you know, that's not what you want for the first overall pick. How's he doing? Right. He's hanging in there.
Right.
Those things should be mutually exclusive, okay?
Uh-huh.
If you're the number one overall pick, it's like, you know. No, that guy should be a home run. You have the pick of everybody you want, and it better be better than, he's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not his hype man. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Trey, this has been.
I just think the Bears organization would have been better off. And circus, whatever. If that's a problem, it's never going to work out anyway. It's never going to work out if that's a problem. It's been worked out a million times with those kind of guys. And usually what happens is the cream rises to the top, but the guy wasn't worth the pick anyway.
It has often been that way, Trey. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. We talked about the Chasing It podcast, where you could hear more of his opinions. And I love the Alternative Routes podcast that you do with Kevin Frazier, as you guys take times in sports history and say, hey, what if Steve Bartman never was alive and that never happened? What's the latest that you guys have up and running right now on the Alternative Routes podcast, Trey Wingo?
Yeah, thanks. It's Alternate Routes. It's with Amazon and Wondery. We just taped a couple of pods the last week, NBA related. We have one out right now. What if Michael Jordan had missed the shot in the 82 NCAA championship game as a freshman? Would that change his swagger, his demeanor, his ability to believe he could do anything? We do have a Bartman one coming up.
Oh, well, okay.
And by the way, and the issue is someone else would have been Bartman because there were 10 people grabbing for that ball. I mean, let's just be honest about it. He wasn't swinging by himself.
Oh man!
But you can find it wherever you get your podcast. We take one moment in sports, flip it the other way and see how things change dramatically. It's been really fun. And yeah, Kevin and I are having a blast doing it. We work together, obviously, on SportsCenter for years, yep, doing other stuff. So it's just been a blast to get back and work with him. It's really fun because this is what everyone does, right?
Yeah.
They take these conversations and say, what if this had happened? We sort of explore it and take it as far as we can possibly take it. And it's really kind of it gets a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah, no, for sure. Alternate Routes podcast with Kevin, yeah, Frazier. Trey Wingo, always love talking to you. Great conversation. And I'm sure I'll talk to you soon, man.
Anytime. Take care, Mark.
Yep, that is Trey Wingo. And definitely has some thoughts on Justin Fields and what the Bears did, and we'll talk more about it on the other side. I'm Mark Grody. This is On the Clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Tomorrow is the one-week anniversary of Justin Fields being traded. Mm-hmm. Yep, it went down. It happened. They got us just when we were letting our guard down. It's Thanksgiving, St. Patrick's weekend, and I had a party, and you've probably heard by now, coincidentally, I was with a bunch of Score people at a Score party that the boss was hosting when news of the Justin Fields trade had gone down. There were literally Irish dancers in the house. There was literally a bagpiper tuning up, warming up, getting ready to go.
Is that where you were when you called in during the Bulls halftime show with Chuck?
No. I was sent out of the party by my boss. You have to go now, Grody, because you have to work.
That makes sense.
Isn't that funny to really consider? It was like, here we all are at this
Mark,
party.
You got to go work.
Yeah. Because this,
gotta join Chuck.
This is what was going on with, I assume, a lot of our listeners when the news came down. I mean, if you're a Bears fan or a sports fan in Chicago, you probably were somewhere and you're probably doing the same thing that we were doing. It just, you can imagine the level to which it went with us, because it is our jobs to react and respond to such things. So when I'm at this party with a bunch of on-air and off-air staff members, all of us who play a role somehow in putting the product on the radio. And so it was hilarious. Like, it was literally, okay, let's get Grody on at halftime. And then we need, maybe Grody, can you do 3 hours tomorrow? You know, Bernstein's working on his take over here. Spiegel, zip the hell out before anything can go down. There's Russ Matera, our imaging guy, in the corner with Chris Tannehill bugging him. He's got to get, hey, you got to start to get the imaging going on this thing here. So it's like everybody's going to work. And I was like, here's me at this party. I don't drink. Everybody else is having a cocktail because that's what you do on St. Patrick's Day. And I'm like, well, I'm the most eligible to leave this party now and get in my car and go home and get to the studio so I can go on at halftime of the Bulls game with Chuck Swirsky.
Yeah, so you were the designated driver and host, yeah, a.k.a. Yes. Bears reporter. Breaking news reporter that night.
Yeah, I like to think of it that way. That's not really how it went. I'm sure most of my colleagues were able to drive out of there without a problem. It's a boss party. Nobody's going to get crazy at a boss party. But it's definitely fun to add layers to that story. Because tomorrow is the day. Where were you when Justin Fields was traded? I was at my boss's party with Score colleagues. Oh, man. All right, this is the end of the show. This is the end of the on-the-clock portion of our evening, but I get to be with you guys for the next couple of hours, so when we return, we'll continue our Bears conversation with EJ Schneider, who was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day. That's coming up next. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Tomorrow is the one-week anniversary of Justin Fields being traded. Mm-hmm. Yep, it went down. It happened. They got us just when we were letting our guard down. It's Thanksgiving. St. Patrick's weekend, and I had a party, and you've probably heard by now, coincidentally, I was with a bunch of Score people at a Score party that the boss was hosting when news of the Justin Fields trade had gone down. There were literally Irish dancers in the house. There was literally a bagpiper tuning up, warming up, getting ready to go.
Is that where you were when you called in during the Bulls halftime show with Chuck?
No. I was sent out of the party by my boss. You have to go now, Grody, because you have to work.
That makes sense.
Isn't that funny to really consider? It was like, here we all are at this
Mark,
party.
You got to go work.
Yeah. Because this
gotta join Chuck.
This is what was going on with, I assume, a lot of our listeners when the news came down. I mean, if you're a Bears fan or a sports fan in Chicago, you probably were somewhere, and you're probably doing the same thing that we were doing. It just, you can imagine the level to which it went with us, because it is our jobs to react and respond to such things. So when I'm at this party with a bunch of on-air and off-air staff members, all of us who play a role somehow in putting the product on the radio. And so it was hilarious. Like, it was literally, okay, let's get Grody on at halftime. And then we need, maybe Grody, can you do 3 hours tomorrow? You know, Bernstein's working on his take over here. Spiegel, zip the hell out before anything can go down. There's Russ Matera, our imaging guy, in the corner with Chris Tannehill bugging him. He's got to get, hey, you got to start to get the imaging going on this thing here. So it's like everybody's going to work. And I was like, here's me at this party. I don't drink. Everybody else is having a cocktail because that's what you do on St. Patrick's Day. And I'm like, well, I'm the most eligible to leave this party now and get in my car and go home and get to the studio so I can go on at halftime of the Bulls game with Chuck Swirsky.
Yeah, so you were the designated driver and host, a.k.a. Bears reporter. Breaking news reporter that night.
Yeah, I like to think of it that way. That's not really how it went. I'm sure most of my colleagues were able to drive out of there without a problem. It's a boss party. Nobody's going to get crazy at a boss party. But it's definitely fun to add layers to that story. Because tomorrow is the day. Where were you when Justin Fields was traded? I was at my boss's party with Score colleagues. Oh, man. All right, this is the end of the show. This is the end of the on-the-clock portion of our evening. But I get to be with you guys for the next couple of hours. So when we return, we'll continue our Bears conversation with EJ Schneider, who was at the Caleb Williams Pro Day. That's coming up next. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.